Hi, this is Kevin Baldwin and Sylvia Hernandez. We're here from the law firm of Baldwin and Vernon. And today we're going to be talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. That's different than gender discrimination. Gender discrimination is when you don't get a job or you're treated differently simply because you're a woman, or in some situations, because you're a man. That'd be saying, well, we don't hire women to do that job, only men do that job. Or we don't hire men to do that job, we only hire women to do that job. Now, that's called gender discrimination. But what we're going to talk about today is sexual harassment. And that's been in the news for the last several years, the Me Too movement, everything going forward. So I think we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And Sylvia, what do we often see when people call up claiming a sexual harassment?
So usually it starts with, sometimes it's a manager or sometimes it's an employee, but mostly I think it's a manager or something like that. A man asking the woman out for the first, let's go on a date. Usually it starts like that.
Now, if I was the manager and I was working at X company, and I said to either another manager or even a subordinate, I said, "Hey, I really like you. Would you like to go on a date with me?" Is that sexual harassment itself?
Not that by itself. Just once, it's not. Now, if it continues and continues and continues, and it gets very weird, and we all know how it feels, then that's becomes the sexual harassment.
And in certain, well, there's other types too. There's something called quid pro quo, and you're familiar with that. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And quid pro quo generally means, it's a fancy Latin term for this, for that. And sometimes in those situations, you'll have, and we've seen this, waitresses who work at a bar, and the bartender or bar manager will say, well, I'll give you the good section, you know, if we go in the back room and you do something for me. Or I will let you have the hours you want. Just show me your breasts, flash me, something like that. All those are quid pro quo. And sometimes it goes deeper into, look, if you're going to work here, I expect you to put up with my sexual advances, and I want you to reciprocate. Now, those are very serious allegations. And if you are experiencing that at work, you need to immediately contact a lawyer to assist you. But one of the things we're going to talk about today is just the general atmosphere of sexual harassment. Now, Sylvia, in a sexual harassment claim, what type of evidence are you looking for generally?
I'm looking for the constant, like we said, not just once. You know, it has to be constantly. I'm looking for the difference between how that person treated you and treated others.
Retaliation for refusing?
Oh, that's right. Retaliations. Usually if you say no, then they cut you off from the hours, or they put extra rules. For instance, you need to now clean this and then come back and tell me you can leave. Ask me if you can leave or not when others don't. Or they watch you more closely on everything, or write-ups for everything when others are not getting write-up for that.
In fact, I will say that honestly, you actually cut your teeth on a sexual harassment case. It's one of the first major cases you handled. Is that true?
That is correct, yes.
And in that situation, it happened to deal with a Hispanic lady who was a legal immigrant to our country, but Spanish was her first language, and she dealt with a Caucasian manager. And it seemed that manager treated her differently than other people.
Yes. So that in that situation, the manager always wanted her to come to his office, kind of for him to be the power and she be, you know, the small person. And also because she was Mexican, there's this, I don't know, they see Mexicans like, they will do whatever you tell
subservient.
Them to do. Yes,
they
that's
think
the word.
They think they're so. It's one of the things that we first had to deal with in this case. Is when I was looking at it, to me, it seemed strange in that the man seemed possessive, mm-hmm. and wanted to put her in a subservient role, not just as an employee, but also make sexual demands upon her.
Yes.
And was that something that you found to be shocking?
Yes, and he would suggest things to her like, "Let's do this, let's do that,"
or "I'm going to come over to your place and I want mm-hmm. you to dress like." this or dress like that.
I'll give you the American dream. That's what he would say, too.
Well, that's not the American dream, folks, and we all know that. But in that situation, she did not do it, did she?
No, she didn't. And that's where we saw the retaliation. Like I was saying, she would have to do extra things that others wouldn't. She was right up for using her phone, for instance, and others weren't. He would go into the work area and just watch her closely.
And not just watch her, watch her in a weird way.
Yes. What else would he do? He would make her work long hours when he was there, always on his shift. He would call her into his office when no other person had to go to his office.
And this was after she'd actually complained of sexual harassment. So she had complained to management, and management did not step in and change things. Mm-hmm. In fact, what management did was they investigated and said, oh, we don't really see a problem here. And so, unfortunately, that seemed to empower him and embolden him. And that's when, as Sylvia said, he would call her in to make her come in, make her check in and check out with him. Nobody else had to do that.
Right. No one else. And that's part of the retaliation.
And in that situation, unfortunately, she did not come to see a lawyer until she was terminated.
Yes.
And a lot of folks, especially a lot of women, will put up with things like that because they think they have to. Or they think, if I make waves, I'll get fired. Or if I don't do this, I'll get fired. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're putting up with that, don't. Make sure and call a lawyer. Come in and see us. Other things that you will see is something called a hostile work environment. And in a sexually hostile work environment, it might not be a situation where you yourself are hit on, but let's say that Sylvia is working in a factory. And if Sylvia's working in a factory and the guys on the factory floor, they like using bad terms towards ladies, or they'll ask her, hey, did you get some, do this, do that. And a lot of it could be sexually offensive.
Yes.
And you've seen that before.
Yes.
And they might have pictures up, or they might even go as far as asking the woman that they work with, so what do you do sexually? They're not hitting on her, but they're making it very uncomfortable for her. And that is something that creates a sexually hostile work environment. Anytime where your sexuality is in question, or what you may or may not engage in, it's less than professional. Would you agree?
Definitely. And it is very weird. And you'll just feel it. It's just a thing that you feel it's wrong and it's uncomfortable. And yeah.
One of the things I always tell people is just because you go to management or make a complaint in-house does not always mean they're going to address the complaint. Now, we've had several cases where the person complains and all of a sudden the focus of the investigation isn't on the people engaging in the sexual harassment, but who gets investigated?
The victim, the one that's being treated differently. And that's unfortunate, but it often happens more than not.
And in those situations, it's important to reach out and contact an attorney. And the reason is a lot of times if we get involved early on, now I have had cases, and I had a huge employer here in the Kansas City area, who I had a woman call me about a sexual harassment complaint. But when she told me what was going on, that she complained to her employer handled it. Not only did they handle it, they investigated it, found that it was true, and against a manager. And they actually fired that manager and said out loud, the reason we're firing him is because he's violated our sexual harassment policy. Now, folks, I hate to tell you this, but that's the kind of thing that makes me live in fear because that actually takes my job away. But if everyone did the right thing, I wouldn't have to do this area of the law. But unfortunately, as we found out, a lot of employers don't do the right thing, do they, Sylvia?
No, they don't. Most of them don't.
Most of them don't. Most of them try and cover it up, make excuses, and get rid of the problem. But who do they see as the problem, Sylvia?
The one complaining, the victim of the situation.
In this situation, you shouldn't have to put up with it. Now, we've had cases where the person who's complained, with our involvement, if they're still employed, we've been able to keep them employed and actually have the employer get rid of the supervisor. That does happen. Mm-hmm. But you have got to be willing to stand up for yourself. But you're not just standing up for yourself. You're standing up for every woman in the workplace. And sometimes that's a hard thing.
It is a hard thing, but it's something that you need to do. You must do. And protect yourself, protect others.
I always look at it this way. I have two daughters, and they're both just out of their teenage years and entering the workforce. And what I would hope is that they don't have to face this in their lifetime. But if they do have to face it, I want them to fight it. I want them to fight it so that my granddaughters don't have to face this. I want them to fight it so that Sylvia's daughter doesn't have to face this. Because until we actually do something and change it, nothing will change. If you just pretend it didn't happen and let it go without challenging it and questioning it, then no change will come. This has been Kevin Baldwin and Sylvia Hernandez from Baldwin and Vernon, Attorneys at Law. Thank you.